this evening. Look in, if you would, Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. And 24. If you have a pen, you can highlight some places tonight. But, you know, a lot of times church folk are caught up in traditions. Why do we do what we do? Let's stand on to reading the Word of God tonight. Isaiah 44, verse 24, we'll read one verse. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb. It don't sound like no accidental calls to me tonight. For I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone. You may be seated this evening. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. I pray now that you take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts and lives. Help us in this service. God, each family that participates, I pray the blessings of God be upon them. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. I'm glad I've got a God tonight that stretches forth the heavens alone. He don't need any help. And He is the giver of life, and I will remind you, He is the taker of life. Brother Mike and I were talking this week on the phone, and it seems like so many times we get a call that death has come. But let me tell you, you may bypass a lot of appointments in this old world, but there's one appointment me and you will never get by, and that's the appointment of death. For we're all going to die. And when we die, we better be saved by the good grace of God. That is, by the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. But here our Bible teaches us that God is the giver of life. Let's look in Psalms 139 and 13. Psalms 139 and 13. Why do we stand for life so strong? Psalms 139 and 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, look with us in Proverbs 24 and 11. Let's go to the right in your Bibles, Proverbs 24 and 11. I'm going to get in the text where I want to preach from after this tonight. But I do want to share this verse with you, Proverbs 24. Verse number 11, why do we stand for life the way that we do? How does God see the killing of babies? Proverbs 24 and 11, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? America is paying the price tonight because of abortion. America has blood on her hands. Because people will not stand up for what is right. Now, I believe that God is the giver of life. He's the taker of life. But let's look in this situation of a barren lady. A young lady that had never had a child and how special it was to this young lady. You'll find her this evening. Come on the pages of the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I want to say something, too. I don't hear read much. I'll give you this before I get into 1 Samuel 1. I had it in my notes. I've seen it. I think the Lord wants me to read it tonight. That have taken the lives of unborn children. Proverbs 6 and 16. These six things doeth the Lord hate. And what He hates, we better write down and hate it also. He says, seven are an abomination to Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren. So we realize that God is for life tonight. Now, 1 Samuel 1, in verse number 1, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim. Brother Mike, you might have to come help me pronounce this verse 1 tonight. I gave him a text to read the other day, and I wasn't feeling too good. I wanted to help me read, and hadn't even thought about it. It had names this long in it, and he looked at me like, why are you getting me to read this tonight? But every word's right in our Bible. Say amen. And so he said of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, and the son of Tahu, the son of Zuth, a Euphrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, here we see in the Bible this of the polygamy. Where did it start in the Bible? Here's a man had two wives. What's up with that, preacher? Well, this practice first started with a descendant from Cain named Lamech. Lamech went and took him wives. He was a descendant of Cain, a man of blood. And so this grew into a custom of the day. Abraham had multiple wives, even Jacob. But we know what Jesus has taught us. Matter of fact, the letter of the law that God gave did not sanctify multiple wives. Men went out of the boundaries that God had established, and they started producing a culture. That's why we need preachers in America. To stand up and tell people what the Word of God says. But I noticed something. If you remember when Noah went into the ark, the Bible said that Noah took his wife. And his three sons took their three wives. They all had individual wives, only one. So Noah was a descendant of Cain, but what happened? The Bible said Noah walked with God. And so Noah received light, and he straightened up his life. Matter of fact, Jesus wrote something in Matthew 19. He said a man would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Singular. We know in the beginning of time when God brought Eve unto Adam, he did not have multiple wives. So this was a custom that it went and it went out of hand. Let me tell you, it caused chaos. And it still caused chaos tonight. Somebody say amen. Boy, that was weak. Say amen. And so, in verse 2, he had two wives. Now, watch this. One was Hannah. Many of the Bible scholars, they'll say that Hannah, more than likely, was his first wife. She was barren. The Lord had her womb shut up. So he took unto him another wife that bore him children, and she was Peninnah. She had children, verse 2, but Hannah had no children. Could you imagine there in the household of Hannah how sad she was when she looked at the children that she could not bear? I want to say something that ought to all rest our hearts in tonight. God is the giver of life. God decides whether a baby is brought forth or not. And so here we find this Hannah's child. We see, first of all, by outline, there's Hannah's infliction. Hannah's infliction. We see her appearance. She, as the Bible sort of carries us along, we find out that she's really grieved in heart because she had no children. But then, not only in this Hannah's infliction, her appearance, but in verse 5, we see her appointment. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Now here Elkanah, her husband, had brought gifts into his wives, and so here he wanted to recognize Hannah. But Hannah, we find in verse 6, not only her appearance and her appointment, but look at her adversary. Her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. You know something? That's just like the devil. He'll run you crazy about something you can do nothing about. And he will, that is his process. The devil loves to provoke. The devil loves to bring things up to us tonight. And underline this in verse 6. He loves to make us fret. Loves to make us worry. Loves to make us get out of sorts and worry about things that we cannot help. Folks, let me tell you, when you're walking with Jesus and trying to do the best you can do down at your house, don't worry about the things that you can't change. Focus on the things you can change. And so the devil messed with her mind. Hannah's infliction. But in verse 10, we see Hannah's intervention. The Bible said that she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I'm glad we got somebody we can talk to tonight. I'm glad I don't have to come and talk to a preacher. Glad we don't have to come and talk to a pope. We got somebody that's sitting on the throne that we can talk to tonight. Matter of fact, in your situation, you got somebody, if you know Jesus, that you can talk to about your circumstances. Hannah's intervention. Verse 10, Hannah prayed out. She was in bitterness of soul and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Not only did Hannah, we see that she prayed out. But in verse 11, she proclaimed out. For she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him and the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. In other words, she says, God, I want to ask you something. I want to ask you something specifically. God, I need you to help me. And she said, and by the way, if you will allow me to have this, I'll take real good care of it. Can I tell you, we all have great responsibility with our children tonight to take good care of them. And a lot of you may draw the line here. I don't. I go across the line. But I'm concerned about my grandchildren tonight. They're my grandyoungins. And if you don't like your grandyoungins, something's wrong with you tonight. And so we have great responsibility that God has given to us with children. We see Hannah's infliction and Hannah's intervention. She prayed out. She proclaimed out. But look in verse 15. She poured out, and look what happens. And Hannah, first of all, let me get this right here. Verse 12. Came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth, who overseen the priestly office. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. You see here, when Eli marked her mouth, it simply means that He observed the motion of her mouth. Nothing was coming out, but He observed that she had a dire need in her life as she was pouring out her heart before God. Can I tell you, we've got somebody that'll let us pour our heart out to Him. This morning we was preaching that rock at Ebenezer, where the people of God, they poured the water out on the ground before the sacrifice. So many times that is a type of us pouring our hearts, our souls out before the Lord and saying, Lord, we need You. Folks, can I tell you, if there's ever been a day and an hour when we need the Lord, it is tonight. And so here, Hannah had an infliction. Hannah had an intervention. She poured out her heart unto the Lord. But now God answers her prayer in verse 20. Not only we see her infliction, her intervention, but now look at her investment. Her investment. Verse 20. The Bible said, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. Samuel means in sight of God. So we see in verse 20, the name of her child was Samuel. Who was that, preacher? Samuel is somebody God is fixing to call a nation back to Him by. He's a prophet, a priest, a judge. And God is going to use him to where it's unbelievable. Brother Mark had mentioned in prayer room tonight, he had heard this phrase. He's seen this ad that a young man was holding up his baby with cancer. And said, I wish God would give us a cure for cancer. And one reply was, well, He might have had, but you killed it through abortion. I wonder how many preachers, how many deacons, how many school teachers, how many people that God could have really used to impact lives has been taken by cruel hands tonight. I appreciate these families having their children. Children is a prized possession. And so here, Hannah's investments, the name of her child, but look at verse 21 at the nurture of her child. The Bible said, the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice, his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then will I bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, doeth what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. On the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Hannah's investment. She named her child. She nurtured her child. But look in verse 24. Here's the needs of her child. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her. Mamas, don't send your children to church. Take them to church. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him in the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. You know the greatest time to impact your child for Christ is when they are young. If you'll take a tender plant and you bend that plant, it will grow in the direction that it is adjusted. And can I tell you, many of you have young children that are at a tender age. Love your children. Keep them at the house of God. Keep them under old time preaching and worship tonight. Discipline your children. They must be led and governed and taught. And so Hannah's investment. But lastly, where we get down to the close of our service, that I like to use this, Not only Hannah's infliction, Hannah's intervention, Hannah's investment, but lastly, Hannah's inspiration. What did Hannah do that has inspired so many people to dedicate their children to the Lord? This is one of the most used texts in this service that we go into tonight. And let's look at her inspiration. In verse 27, she prayed. For this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked. Did anybody have a praying mama? Thank God I had a praying mama. Honey, let me tell you, the prayers of mama go places that nobody else can go to. I'm glad I had a mama pray for me. So her inspiration, Hannah prayed. Look at verse 27. Hannah prayed. She said, He hath given me my petition which I asked of Him. Can I tell you, it's okay for you ladies to say amen in a church service. It's okay to raise your hands toward heaven and say, thank you, God, for how good you've been to me. One of these little children is going to be dedicated tonight. I was on the way home. Renee said, did you hear so-and-so amen you this morning? I'm talking about just a little child. It got so quiet. God had her say amen when nobody else would say amen. I'm glad you got them in the house of God so they know what amen is tonight. Hannah's inspiration. Hannah prayed. Hannah praised. Verse 27, lastly, Hannah presented. For this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of Him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. He worshiped the Lord there. Hannah didn't abuse her baby. Hannah didn't abort her baby. Hannah didn't abandon her baby. She's seen about her baby. And you young families tonight, I commend you for having your children in church. I appreciate the God that gives life. Children bring so much enjoyment to our life.